Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's broadcast. This is episode 61, and you're listening to These Be Perilous Times, where we seek to understand not only the signs of the times, but how we must respond to the things that are developing, the things that must soon take place. I'm Pastor Andre here with our host, Rabbi John Wesley, and we'd like to invite you to study with us this morning. If you're listening live, make sure to have your Bible, pen, and paper ready to take notes as we engage in today's study. Before we get started, Rabbi, I'll pass it to you for our opening prayer. Rabbi.
Father, right now in the name of Yeshua, we thank you, Father, for this day. We thank you for structuring our hearts and our minds and our will and our emotions, Father, keeping us in check, keeping our appetites set on course to receive your word. Father, we ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression, and we choose, we make a quality decision right now, today, to forgive ourselves and to forgive others for things that they've done against us. Glorify your name, and we thank you, Father, for forgiving our forefathers on both sides of our family, to the third and fourth generation, as it says in Exodus 34. Verse 7, we thank you, Father, that you care about us. You structured the day for the new mercies so that we may be able to obtain them. Not by our own strength or our own might, but by your Spirit, by being yielded and led by your Spirit. So we choose right now to be led by your Spirit, as you guide us through this study, and as you prepare us day by day. In Yahushua's name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, Pastor Andre, I will pass it back to you to get us started, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir. And here we go. We're going to have our before Torah study blessing. And again, whenever time we do a blessing, it's to give recognition and honor to the Lord and to put him as first. And so we want to do that before we engage in this word and give thanks to God for his word. So here's the four Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehua, Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kishanu b'mitzvotav, yitzchanu la'asot b'divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who sanctified us with his commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Amen. I want to go into a recap of episode 60 last week, and primarily we spent time looking at a few scriptures in 1 Thessalonians and also 2 Thessalonians. I do want to apologize to our listeners. I've misread a section, and so I wanted to point you guys back in the right direction. One of the scripture references that we're going to cover was we're talking about the day of the Lord in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So if you could write that down, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 through 11. And this passage basically gives a synopsis of the time right before the Lord's coming and the day of the Lord. And so, again, this goes back to our theme of looking at the signs toward a pre-wrath rapture. And again, I want to emphasize pre-wrath. Oftentimes, and we talked about this last week, many of us have indirectly been taught a pre-tribulation rapture, some indirectly, some very directly. There's the teaching, predominant teaching, is that the Christian will not go through any of the tribulation. And we have covered many things over the past 60 episodes showing and pointing to the fact that there will be perilous times, and also there will be a portion of the tribulation that believers will come out of, and that's primarily referenced in both Daniel and also in Revelations chapter 7, those who are wearing white robes who have come out of the great tribulation. But the very important part to note is that we are not destined for wrath, that is the bride, and this comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, particularly I'm referencing. I'll go ahead and read that for you. It says, "For God hath not destined us," and us here, of course, is those who have followed suit and have listened to the full gospel that Paul is teaching, "to become brides of Christ, not just servants, not just friends. But for God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see here very importance of the position that the bride has in pertaining to the Father sending his Son for her to take her back. So we see the importance of obedience to Torah and submission to Yeshua. And a beautiful thing is the Holy Spirit was given in order to lead, guide, and instruct, but also to warn of what is coming. So we spent time going over this book, 1 Thessalonians. We did read chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and we also read 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 as well. And then we spent some time on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 through 18. And it talked. This was giving a picture of the rapture, of course, and those who had died being raised first, and then all who are in Christ. And that's an important euphemism there, in Christ, but pointing to the bride, will rise first. Those who remain, those who are alive and will remain, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So again, we were discussing primarily the pre-wrath rapture, and discussing also other things. I know, Rabbi, you mentioned that basically used the phrase Great Reset, and how the Antichrist is coming to reset everything in order for and to step into a reset society where there was a total death of free society and everything falls into place under his control. So there's a lot of different little parts we had here, and our main goal was to discuss and emphasize the pre-wrath position of the rapture. So Rabbi, I want to go ahead and pass it back to you for us to continue our discussion this week as we continue looking at signs of perilous times and the pre-wrath rapture. Rabbi?
Amen. And I wanted to make sure that everyone has constructed properly the understanding of 2 Timothy 3, 1, and the fact that that is for the bride. That's the perilous times that are going to be happening to the saints, to the bride of Christ, not so much the world and not so much the friend or the servant, okay? Because it's so important for us to understand the friend doesn't have the submit and commit understanding that a bride has to submit to the contract, it has to submit to the ketubah, has to submit to the agreement that the bridegroom and the bride have orchestrated and structured and discussed previously. So we're going to go back and read 2 Timothy chapter 3 and probably verse 1, 2, and 3. Both in the King James and in the Amplified.
All righty, so I'm pulling that up right now, the King James. There we go. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 in King James here. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. And that was verse 3. I just finished that. Go ahead and go to the Amplified here. Did you want me to go further than verse 3?
No, I think that's pretty much that does cover what I,
And so here, I'll go ahead and read it in the Amplified now. But understand this, that in the last days will come perilous times of great stress and trouble, hard to deal with and hard to bear. For people will be lovers of self and utterly self-centered, lovers of money and aroused by an inordinate, greedy desire for wealth, proud and arrogant and contemptuous boasters. They will be abusive, blasphemous, scoffing, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, and profane. They will be without natural human affection, callous and inhuman, relentless, admitting of no truce or appeasement. They will be slanderers, false accusers, troublemakers, intemperate and loose in morals and conduct, uncontrolled and fierce, haters of good.
The understanding here is that these are individuals that were of the Lord. These are individuals that did have a relationship, more so than just the heathens. Because remember, we've got four categories of individuals that Yeshua spoke of in the world: brides, friends, servants. And we're not talking about bond servants, okay, with the apostolic anointing upon them. We're talking about actual servants and heathens. So the heathen would be a sinner. It would be a person that is not saved. A servant would be an individual that has a salvation relationship with Jesus Christ, Yahushua, but that's about as far as it goes. A friend would be an individual that has went as far as a baptism, be it a baptism in the Holy Spirit, as well as a baptism in water, but have not totally surrendered all of themselves to Yah, to God. Whereas the bride would be the next and the highest tier, be the one that has totally surrendered all of themselves to include all of the other requirements. And they are requirements. Oftentimes we think that they're just options, and we're even taught that they're options. You know, when the scriptures say, well, not all speak in tongues, you know, not all have the gifts of this or the gifts of prophecy or whatever, we take that out of context and we say, oh, well, you know, because they all don't do that, we're not all required to be moving in a manifestation of these gifts. But we all are required. This is a part of what the Father gives. I know that may sound harsh to some, but we have to understand that if there is a promise, if there is a promise that the Father and the Son is given, then that promise has to have a corresponding fulfillment. Promise that is given, there's got to be a corresponding fulfillment. Now, if I don't fulfill what I should fulfill in order for that fulfillment to manifest upon me, that is not the Father's fault. And I need to understand that. We need to understand that. These manifestations the Father has promised, there are requirements pertaining to that promise. We fulfill those requirements, then the Father fulfills his promise. A good example is in Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Genesis chapter 15, starting with verse 1, and probably go up to about maybe verse 5 or 6. Genesis chapter 15. Starting with verse 1. And if you can read that both in the King James and the Amplified, and this is Abraham. Now remember, Genesis chapter 12 has already happened. Most of you are aware of this, where that was when the promise was first given to him. But in Genesis chapter 15, we're further down the road here. And still, the manifestation of that promise has not happened. And it has not happened, not because God is slack in his promises, but because Abraham has not fulfilled all of the obligations that were did of him. by the Father in order for the Father to fulfill his promises. Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through about 6.
Okay.
Now pass it back.
Here is the King James Version, and this is starting verse 1 here. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. Verse 6. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now for Amplified. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am your shield, your abundant compensation, and your reward shall be exceedingly great. And Abram said, Lord God, what can you give me, since I am going on from this world childless, and he who shall be the owner and heir of my house is this steward, Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram continued, Look, you have given me no child, and a servant born in my house is my heir. Verse 4. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, This man shall not be your heir, but he who shall come from your own body shall be your heir. And he brought him outside his tent into the starlight and said, Look now toward the heavens and count the stars if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he, Abram, believed in, trusted in, relied on, remained steadfast to the Lord. And he counted it to him as righteousness, right standing with God. Rabbi, back
in the same way that Abram had a faith issue based upon what he can see and what he saw, in the last days, we are going to have our faith challenged like we have never seen before. In this end time event, there'll be promptings and there'll be suggestions, and then there'll be stronger, firmer suggestions to walk in wickedness and to capitulate with the enemy. Pressures that we have yet to have manifest upon us, at least in America. And we will begin to see the same thing that I had asked and talked to the Father about pertaining to the New Testament messianic believers. Paul even gives a vivid description of what he, as a heathen, what he, full of the way, to the bride. This is going to come full circle. We need to be so shored up in the Spirit. We need to be so interconnected with our Heavenly Father and with our faith in Him and in Yeshua, in Jesus Christ, that we are more than prepared, that we're lockstep with the Father, that we're in step with Him. Because as long as we're in step with Him, then Psalms 91 will apply to us. Now, we quote it a lot, but we need to hear it more often. Because this is where we're going to have to live. We're going to have to find ourselves living in this world here on earth. Homicomb. In the Hebrew. Psalms 91, verses 1 through 14, if you can read that for us. Psalms 91, verse 1 through 14 in the King James and in the Amplified. This is where we have to learn to live.
Amen. This is a good section. I want to start again, King James, verse 1 here. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. Verse 10. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Verse 14 here. Because He hath set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. And for the Amplified here. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On Him I lean and rely, and in Him I confidently trust. For then He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and His faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. Verse 5, you shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only a spectator shall you be yourself, inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High, as you witness the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place, there shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For He will give His angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. I'm at verse 12 here. They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot. Verse 14. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he knows and understands my name, has a personal knowledge of my mercy, love, and kindness, trusts and relies on me, knowing I will never forsake him. No, not ever.
Pastor Andre, I'm going to pass it to you to just kind of share your heart on what this actually means to you, mm-hmm. and I will share the thing as well.
This, even reading it today impacted me in a different way. I purposely was reading each verse with its own emphasis. And as I was going through the verses, it really was a picture of hiding myself in Him. And it became real even for this very moment when it began to talk about the pestilence and the plague. And I've quoted, you know, verse 10 so many times, no evil shall befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. But it was real. It was like, you know what? This needs to be professed and proclaimed and declared. And we have been walking in it in some ways, but it has to be a walking with understanding and a knowing and a fervent faith. And it will become more and more real. As I was reading, I just began to see that this is not the only, you know, illness we'll see to affect the world. And so this has to be seared into our conscience. What I got from it again today was this aspect of the importance of not retreating into Yah, but accelerating into Him. Like it says in that scripture, you know, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous accelerate, or they run into it and are safe. That picture became real here of running into His presence in that under that shadow. And also it challenged me today because it made me ask the question as I was reading, which is kind of hard to do, ask yourself questions and read at the same time. But I began to ask the question, are you going to this place regularly? And so for me, it was a very real call to make this a mission statement for myself, to really allow the Lord to be my refuge and to accelerate there. When you say refuge, you almost want to say the word retreat, but I don't want to use that. I want to use the word advance, to advance into His presence here. Today it really hit me with the protection from the pestilence and also with the Amplified. I'm sorry, this is the last thing I'll share because there's just so many. I mean, there's 14 verses here. It was giving a beautiful picture of being protected even from the evil plots, verse 5, and the slanders of the wicked. It's like we need to make sure that we go to this place, and it's like you can't touch me. I am untouchable here. It's like what Yeshua said, you know, there's nothing of the world in me for Satan to grab me and take hold of me with. So that's a few of the many thoughts that were swirling as I was reading, Rabbi.
And that's awesome because, I mean, that latter part that you just shared just kind of touched me as well. As, in other words, it didn't matter. The adversary would try. Yeshua was shored up in such a way, and He was so focused on the will of the Father to where there was nothing that Satan could do or an area where Satan could find a weakness at that time in Yeshua so that he could exploit. Because remember, the goal here is to exploit weaknesses, areas, in within us that we have not shored up, that we have not really fortified and have done, being careful. There's many passages of Scripture in the Old Testament says, be careful to observe. Joshua 1:9 talks about not being afraid, but it also, verse 7, 8, and 9, talking about being careful to observe the things that I've told Moses. You know, we have to be careful to observe them in order for Psalms 91 to work in our behalf. And it's a walkout. What I mean by a walkout, for those that you may have never really totally understood that term or heard the term, that means that it's a journey. It means that sometimes it's a hard journey or you're toiling through weaknesses in your own life, toiling through obstacles that try to get in the way, toiling through detours that were either brought upon you or that you yourself caused, toiling through, okay, in order to continue to make it to the destination that God has called. And too often we've got to keep in mind that the Father has provided for us the Holy Spirit so that it's not a toil, so that it's not a struggle, if you will. The kindness, the gifts of the Spirit and the fruit, especially in is where I'm at here now, the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, you know, that helps us as we learn to apply it in our life. As I learn to apply these things, it helps me to realize and to understand that the toiling doesn't become toiling anymore. It becomes more of a pleasantness, the peace of God that passes all of the toil of the mental understanding of things, comes in and rests upon us and breaks the yokes of bondage and toiling so that we can walk in the fullness of His glory. Remember, when you are totally immersed in Him, that's where the fullness of His joy starts to make its way into my life so that I can be complete in Him. It's so imperative that we understand, that I understand, that this is the part of knowing Him that He talks about in so many different passages. That's an intimacy. That's a relationship that's more than just an acquaintance, more than just a once in a while discussion about the topics of the world. Okay? This gets into the most intimate times and relationship, you Father, that you are a God of relationship and not just religion. We need to understand the religiosity of things will always cause us to fail, will always cause us to miss the mark, will always cause us to try to legitimize what we are doing, when the relationship that He's looking for is a relationship of intimacy, a relationship of holiness, a relationship of righteousness. And I know for myself, that means I've got to die on a regular. That's not something that we're used to, although we should be, to die every single day so that I can be able to be supernaturally transposed or transported into this place called Psalms 91. It's a spiritual place more so than it is a natural place. So I can't get there by the natural understanding of things. I can walk properly naturally, and that is a part of what needs to happen. But as that happens, then the relationship that I'm in the process of building with the Father takes that as I am doing with my whole heart, mind, soul, and spirit. He takes that, and then He begins to usher in, and it even says, you know, He will put His special angel in charge over you, over me. I mean, that's an honor. That is an honor. His special angel will be in charge, will be appointed. We need to understand how important we are to Him. If He gave His only begotten of a woman Son for our sins, for our transgressions, because of our iniquities, then we have to understand how special we really are to Him, to ourselves, but to Him, how important we are as the offspring. Now understand, the offspring is not those that just focus on their relationship with Jesus Christ, nor those who only focus on submitting to the commandments of God, but those who do both. And it's not rote memorization. It's not, okay, I'll remember this, so therefore thou, I will give you, you know, the verbiage that you want to hear. It's got to be a heartfelt kavanah in the Hebrew. Kavanah means it's got to be a heartfelt, meaningful act. It's an act of obedience according to Yah, but it's got to be heartfelt. It's got, you've got to really mean it. That changes not only the atmosphere, but that changes the whole concept of the relationship. That's what helps to bring the intimacy. We're in a time and a place where the Father is looking for intimacy. He understands what's about to happen. He knows the perilous times are coming to his bride. He gets it. But he's still waiting for that intimacy, for that coming up, that real caring about him. Now, for some of us, it may be just because we care enough about the pain and the suffering that we don't want, so therefore we cling to God. But the Father is not upset with that, for he knows that if we cling to him because of fear, at some point the switch is going to switch. The off is going to come on, and I'm going to realize, oh, wow. It's like with my marriage to my wife, which is going on 38 years now, my initial sight of her was, wow, you know, I love her. But that love was more so skin deep because I had no experience, no relationship with her. So the 38 plus years is the manifestation of that love 38 years ago. And I, even in and of myself, am learning what that definition is. This is the self-same aspect of the way in which our Heavenly Father and Yeshua are doing the bride. Now, not the friend or the servant or the heathen, but the bride only, allowing the bride to come to an understanding of what that truly means to be a bride. And realizing that you might be able to give a very eloquent definition of a bride, but the Father is not looking for a definition. He's looking for a lifestyle. And that lifestyle is going to affect every aspect of the life that we are living in and coming up to. The Father knows that this will hone and deal with areas in my life that needs to be matured, that needs to be brought to a mature level of obedience. That is where we are right now. That is what's happening right now. And we have to get in us. It has to be affirmed in us. In other words, we have to live through it. We've got to go through something to be that excellent or expert. There's an X in those words, which means there's got to be some applied pressure to an area of weakness in order for it to be shored up so that it's no longer a weakness. That's one of the many reasons why the Father allows certain things with the adversary, because the adversary is excellent in showing us our weakness, that that's his desire, because his desire is to take us out. to kill, steal, and destroy. But the Father, because of our disobedience, allows certain access that he gets in order to cheer us up, because when that happens, I don't know about you, but I cry out to the Lord. He never gets tired of me crying out to him. He definitely wants me to mature. But he never gets tired of me acknowledging him. James 4:7 says, submit to God. So within my concept of crying out, of acknowledging him, of asking him to help me, God is saying, submit to my word, submit to my counsel, listen and obey what I told you to do. Because as you do that, then your freedom will come. As you do that, then Psalms 91 will be a activator in your life. It won't just be a great scripture that you wish actually did happen for you. But it would be an activator. It would be a constant, oh, I sense and feel the anointing of God taking me into that holy place, into that protection. The three Hebrew boys, we read the story about that in Daniel, and we're moved by the faith and the power of God to recompense and to deliver them. But we miss a great element, Pastor Andre. We missed the Psalms 91. Psalms 91 concept is the fact that Daniel, who was also in captivity, was never mentioned. Because God had protected him and taken him completely out of the situation.
That's good.
Daniel was in such a homicone to where he never had to deal with that situation. Pastor Andre, I'm going to pass it to you to just kind of elaborate on that.
It's funny you brought that story up, because one of my sons asked that very question this week, where was Daniel? And I can't help but think that this is a very excellent explanation, if we will, the Psalms 91 explanation. Daniel, of his friends, definitely showed himself to be exemplary, but not just exemplary in, you know, the studies and whatnot, but his relationship and his resolve to go into that secret place, to go to his closet, even to his open window, and to pray and to build that relationship. It's evident that Daniel was very relational. And I love the picture. And it's like, it's almost a little hidden message for us, if you will, that the Father is showing that there is always a remnant, and he will protect those who are intimate with him. And so it's a beautiful picture. But, yeah, there's no mention of Daniel having to go through, the wrath of the king, if you will, for not bowing down to that statue. And I don't want to make the parallel, because the wrath of God is different than the wrath of the king here. But there is there's definitely a picture to be had here. I think it's a beautiful example, Rabbi.
Amen. Amen. And that's where we need to strive to achieve. That is the place of the reference. And I thank God. I want to make sure everybody understands. I thank God that the three Hebrew boys were delivered, because there's so much faith from that. There's so much trusting God from that. Because he did it for them, he'll do it for you. But even the more, Daniel was not even in the region. Even more, he had been promoted and was taking care of the rest of the kingdom in another area. Even the more, he was placed in that high and lofty place by God himself. I need even the more. Because that is an even greater testament of the relationship because it's all about the relationship. It's all about the degree of the relationship. So we need to, I need to understand and press into that Daniel type of relationship, because it's something that was very special to God. And if it's very special to God, it needs to be at least on our radar, because that lets you know how important it is. Yes, perilous times are coming, and to a degree are already here. But as they press in, then we need to press in to him. I like what you said, Pastor Andre, pertaining to the fact that Daniel had a regiment. And that regiment caused him to be in that high and lofty place all the time, caused him to have those special agent angels in charge over him and his steps and protecting him in every way, shape, form, and fashion. It caused him to be elevated and be promoted when others were losing their lives. It charged him. Let it charge us. Let the regiment of the patience of the saints, of the things that we know that we need to be doing on a regular, be what causes us to be lifted up. So in the passage and like the song says, be lifted up in the place where we belong. Because in his kingdom, there's only one place where we belong. And that's with him and his son. There's only one place. When Psalms 91 talks about a place, he's only talking about one place. Not multiple places because there are different entities. No, one place. Pastor Andre, I'll leave it up to you to give the closing remarks. But let's strive to be at that one place. Let's strive to be a Daniel when the three Hebrew boys are being under trial. Let's strive to be nowhere to be found when evil is present. Pastor Andre.
Amen. Thank you, Rabbi. And I love basically this whole section of my notes is under Kavanaugh. I love that word and the idea of being intentional and with I can't find the right synonym, but with gusto, with effort, with zeal, being intentional in our relationship with him. I think that's a beautiful call to action, a beautiful way to end this today's study here. Thank you all for listening today. And just real quick, as Rabbi just charged us, we want to make sure that we are pursuing Yah like Daniel did, and to pursue that Psalms 91 place of intimacy. Again, thank you for listening. In this discussion, even though we're talking about perilous times, we're also talking about and looking forward to a beautiful time on the other side of the storm. So we want to make sure we're reminded of the hope that we have in our Messiah and in his promise towards us. We're glad that you've taken time to engage in the study of Yah's word, and we encourage you to study these things, to go back and to be as Bereans, to study the things that we've discussed and to see if they be true. And if they are, apply them and put them into action in your lives. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. If you have questions or would like to receive our weekly newsletter or simply desire to say, hey, you guys did a great job, hey, we encourage you to do so. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org. And Beth Hashem, is spelled BethHashem.org. Of course, you can find out more about us on our website, www.bethhashem.org. And you can also find us at facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries. For those of you who would like to go deeper and have a deeper dive into the topic at hand and also many other topics about the Hebraic roots of our faith, our college, Zakkai University of Learning, offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies at courses.bethhashem.org. www.ruvatayahuah.org. If you'd like to make a donation and contribute to this ministry and the work that we're doing, you can do so online or on your phone if you visit www.cash.app, that's cash.app/$ Beth Hashem. We appreciate it, those who have contributed, and we ask that you we continue to pray about ministering and donating to this ministry. Excuse me. At this time, we'll close with our after Torah study blessing, which puts a bookmark, not a period or a stop, but a bookmark on our study for today. So we're going to go ahead and go to our after Torah study blessing, followed by our closing benediction and closing prayer with Rabbi John. So at this time, Pastor Doug's after Torah study blessing.
Baruch atah Yehua Eloheinu melech haolam, asher natan lanu toret emet, v'chayei olam natah bikoteinu. Baruch atah Yehua noten haTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the universe, who gave us the Torah of truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la verdad, y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yehua, dador de la Torah.
Amen. And I'm going to recite the blessing from Numbers chapter 6, what we call, we refer to as the Aaronic benediction. And this is for Yah to bless us as we part ways here for today. But until we meet again, we pray that his name be upon us, in Yeshua's name. Yivorechecha Yehua, ve'yishmerecha, Ya'er Yehua panavelecha, v'chunecha, Yisai Yehua panavelecha, ve'yasemelecha shalom. May Yehua bless you and keep you. May Yahuwah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yehoshua. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you for that. We thank you for you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for teaching us Kavanah, for us to do it with gusto, to do it with fervor, to do it intentionally. Let us be intentional in our relationship with you today. Let it not be a passive thing, but be an active pursuit of the excellence of the relationship with you. We praise you and glorify you. And it's by the blood of your Son, Yahushua, that we're washed, that we're cleansed, that we're purified, that we're made holy, as you are holy. Thank you for that. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.